What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Design Daily, a podcast around design, creators, and life with candid conversations featuring creators across design disciplines, including architects, product designers, developers, artists, and others in the design realm, hosted by myself, Austin Beck. This is part two of the conversation I had with my good friend Cody Deal from Real Deal Radio. This, I think, will bring a lot of value, hopefully, to people who recently graduated from college or who are just young professionals and maybe even people later in life. I think it's just a really good conversation around working, work-life balance, hustle, creativity and freedom, social media. Like we covered a wide range of things, and it was a super fun conversation, so I hope it resonates with some of you, and feel free to reach out in the comments, DM me if you know it brought you value. And so it was a really good conversation. I really enjoyed it. And here is part two.
What was it like when you started working there? Like, what is your work professional experience been so far with that company?
It's been good. It was an adjustment for sure. School, because there's a gap in a lot of fields, but architecture, the gap from academia to the profession is huge. They are very different. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't like it, and I still don't really like how far it is. And it varies from firm to firm too, that gap from more theoretical to the reality, and some firms bridge that better. But it was just still an adjustment from like me doing whatever I want to now. Well, I'm in a new state, in a whole new city where I know one person who lives 30 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And I'm at a new job where I got to now work with people. Like, I just had one internship. I got to work with people, learn their names. I'm doing stuff I've never done before. I don't know this program. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I should know more. So there was like, a big adjustment in the first few months, and slowly you just ask a lot of questions, and like it's easier when you're coming out of school too, because like they know
you don't know,
they kind of understand you don't know that much, and so like don't be afraid to ask questions. So I was just asking questions all the time, but you still feel like I shouldn't ask it because I may be bothering them, and they look like they're really busy,
Yeah.
So I would like group up questions, but then I would like take up 40 minutes of their time because I have like 20 questions at one time I have to ask them.
Right.
But it was good. And I was in a public corporate studio that we have different studios. So there's like a arts community education studio and a public corporate studio. And so it's a lot of public work that could be office buildings, could be different government facilities. That I was like in that group, so to speak. Okay. And yeah, but I was still able to work on projects in the different sort of sectors. Like I worked on being able to work on like office buildings to a performing arts center to like a hospital tower to a small mixed use building to a parking garage to like,
it's pretty wide ranging.
Yeah. Right. Which is nice for sure. Even though I'm in this like sort of studio, it's like I've got to work on projects in different areas to kind of help figure out like, do I like this working on this kind of project or this kind of project?
Right. So again, that kind of leads me to the next question. What has your time there, the whole experience you've had, what has it taught you about yourself, and what you think you need to be doing? What kind of work you may want to be doing? What has it revealed to you that you didn't know going into it?
Oh, a ton. I mean, there's so many things that I thought I knew, like what architecture is, which is funny. Like I went into high school or went into college thinking I knew kind of what architecture design is, and they totally break that down. They totally break you down and break your thinking down and mm-hmm. completely rewire how you think and see the world and what you think architecture is. Mm-hmm. And then you come out of school and you go into the profession. And it's great to have all those things, but it's the reality is also a little bit different, because no one outside of the world of architecture cares about architectural theory or
or nuts and bolts of like it. That. We just like the buildings.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still like a lot influences the design itself and our process and how it works. But there's a lot of things that you just have to talk about reality. Like you have to talk about like what kind of joint has to go there. Cause if it's the wrong joint, like it'll crack or, oh, it has to meet this code. Like code was all new to me. And I'm kept being like, I hate code. It's so stupid. But I mean, it keeps buildings up and people safe. So like all these new, like just the realities of actually making a building was totally new. And it still is like the challenging part, but it's the cool part because it's physical, like it's physically manifested, which is why I really enjoy it and love it compared to some other arts that aren't, that are digital, that just aren't physical and they're not physically manifested. I mean, there's still an impact to those, but the fact that it's a physical manifestation from a, like just an idea, I really enjoy.
Which I think is important to note too, because we're living in a world now where so much is digital. We're kind of like moving towards like a more digital world in every aspect of life. It's important to remember that there's still, you know, there's still life outside of these four walls and these screens that we're looking at, right? It's something that's crucial to culture. You know, culture and humanity is, you know, the places we make, you know, the places we go, the things we do at those places. So I think that's a good point. There's a benefit of digital creation, obviously, but the aspect of what you're doing is a whole different story and a whole different crucial story for us as,
you know, as people. I mean, your house you're in, I mean, there may have been an architect, there may be not have been, but every building, everything around us in the world, like the built environment was designed, was thought of, which I just love to think about that. Cause like any space you're in, like someone was there thinking about it, whether it's good or bad or lack of thinking, like it was still thought about and planned. And there's just like nothing else like it that and I'm just like, I just get amped about it. It sounds so nerdy talking about it. I just get amped about spaces and where people work and live and that you get to create that.
I think that's because it's something that made, like specifically, like you said, I mean, you used the word nerdy, but at the same time, I don't know if nerdy is the word, but it's kind of like overlooked, right? Things that, you know, the regular person may not even consider is something that you think about, and what you thinking about it causes it to be better for the people who don't even consider it. It's kind of like one of those like unsung, I don't know, hero is not, maybe not the right word, but it's like an unappreciated career. You know what I mean? Like the way that you can design a building to work. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Unbelievably. So I totally see what you're saying. And I'm glad you look at things that way, because the world needs people looking at certain things in different ways. Like there's no doubt about that. We can't all be doing the same thing. We can't all be worried about the same stuff. There's different things that are important that different people are better at. Clearly, this is something that you've been developing. You've been, you know, had a feeling, a knack for from a young age. So it's good that you're one of those people. You know what I mean? I just, not to, you know, overemphasize any points here, but I just wanted to, you know, stress that a little bit too, that I think it's great that you do look at the world that way, because we need people to look at the world that way.
Yeah. And other people to do other things. That's just what I'm interested in, like what I've been trained at.
Exactly. And that's what I think, that's the beauty of humanity to me, is we're on this planet and we can all bring value in a different way, right? We're here. We're supposed to bring value to other people. We're supposed to make our lives, our families' lives, and our communities and everybody's lives, the whole world lives, better any way we can. And we all have different skills. So that's what we need, is people to take advantage of the skills they have. And I think that's really cool that you've done that. But in terms of like specifically the work, so I know there's been, you know, obviously in any professional life, you may not have the freedom, or, you know, especially the creative freedom, because you're in a creative field, but even with what you're creating, you may have some other desires, you know, internally to create different kinds of things. So I know there was some frustration with that. So what would your advice be to somebody, you know, if they're feeling like they're, you know, weighed down at their job, or they don't have enough creativity or enough freedom, they're kind of like wanting more, and they just can't seem to figure it out at the job they're working at right now, they're 9 to 5.
Yeah, I definitely felt that way coming from school, where your project is theoretical, but you still can get in, you would still get into somewhat of how it's made and that, but like it's your concept, it's yours, you own it, you get to do everything, you have the choice to like whatever medium you want to use to create, like it could be physical, it could be a digital drawing. And so then when you're working and you lose some of that, you lose some of that freedom, you lose some of that even just like responsibility of yourself. It's definitely difficult. I struggled with that for a long time because I wasn't doing these things that I loved as much, or I wasn't, you know, I wasn't given the responsibility at work to like make these kinds of drawings or to like create this concept. I'm doing this other stuff that's important that needs to be done. And I'm learning those things, but I'm missing so much that I enjoyed before. So for me, I was just drawn to like, I need to like, it was just tearing me apart. It was just destroying me. It's like, I need to be doing some of this stuff. Like I need to be creative. I need to be making something. And so one, I would just say like, do it, just do it. Whatever like you're struggling or missing or like feeling you're not doing something creative, like create that project for yourself, like create it for your, for you, whatever it could be. Like you set the parameters, like you be your own client. And
I love that.
Just one to like, if it's really bothering you that bad, like it did me, then you can do it. So for me, it was like there, I entered architecture competitions, like a competition. It'd be just like school. There's a brief, you have to design a building or structure or something. And I would do that on the side.
So you're still finding ways to express yourself out, even outside of your day job. You just got to, you know, try to find ways that you can get that creativity out. I got you.
You just got to find ways to do it, like get the, do the creativity or push yourself in a new way. Or I wanted to do things that I had done more in school. Like I wasn't going through these design concepts. I wasn't having as much design discussions or talking about the work like I wanted to. So that's when I really started listening to podcasts, was like found some podcasts and these people are having these theoretical discussions that I feel like I'm keeping my mind engaged by listening to these things and in my head questioning and thinking about it too, without talking to them, but I don't have someone to talk to, or like there isn't the opportunity at work. So it was like podcasts, several competitions. I only entered one because I didn't finish the others, which that's a whole other thing in itself, is like a competition or a project like that, just actually doing it. I signed up for an online class at Harvard. It was free. There's like free classes you can take at good universities that they have set up online. So there were lectures and they're like short lectures, videos that I could download, and then readings I could do. So it was kind of like a class in school theory, and I just wanted to stay engaged. Watched a ton of just lectures by professors or architects. So I just like, I just wanted to stay engaged and be constantly challenging myself. But a lot of it was because like it was just this difference from school to school to the profession that I was missing. And so it was things I wanted to do. Like I wanted to do these things, and I also felt the need to do it. Like I felt like I had to do this. Like there wasn't an option to not be doing these things, because it was as much like I'm putting all this stress on myself to do it or listen to this or and that, and I felt so busy all the time. I'd be like, I have to, like, sorry, I can't, I have to do this. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
And it was like, if I don't do this, like, it's bad news.
It's
like
a problem. I love that you said that.
I need the outlet.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of, sorry, not to cut you off. Finish your point if you were going to say something.
No.
Just to kind of piggyback off what you said, one thing I mean, your specific is obviously, your situation is a little bit specific towards the architecture, right? But one thing that anybody who listens to this can identify with is that you felt your career or what you were doing during the day was lacking something that you wanted, something that you loved, something that you needed to do, and you took action to seek it out and make it happen, right? So you, whether it was entering a competition, signing up for an online class, which most adults are not just signing up for classes just to do them. Watching the videos on YouTube or YouTube, whatever the case may be, watching the lectures, wherever you may get them. You took that action to get that creative or that desire for that thing you loved, which I think a lot of people start working and they just totally give that up, right? They totally give up the things they love because they think that they need to just be working, worrying about their job, you know, be grateful for a job if you have one, but you cannot let your love and your passion and like what keeps your soul alive die for, you know, the American dream, you know what I mean? So I absolutely love that stuff that you were saying there, because everything you just said to me was you taking action for your own life and making sure that you have those things in your life because you wanted them to be there. Am I right? You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, that's exactly it. And the examples are very specific to architecture, right.
Which is
fine. I'm just saying that's what I did. And it for sure is taking action. And it's because there was like a lack of something I wasn't getting, but I also wanted to challenge myself in new ways too. Because in school, like, you know, I'm so busy with work that I'm doing that I didn't get to do some of these other things.
Right.
And so now I have a little bit extra time. So I get to do some stuff on the side that one, I want to do. And then there's other stuff that I feel like I need to do because I'm missing it from school in some way. So I'm getting like missed stuff from school that I'm still getting. I'm challenging myself in new ways outside, but also like work is so new and I'm learning so much at work.
Exactly.
So it was like a grind. It was a grind, but it wasn't really a grind because, you know, I could slack a little when I wanted. And if I felt tired, like I just wouldn't do something that day, but
right. Exactly.
Like I just, for a long time, just constantly on myself, like I need to just be getting better. I need to be learning this.
Yep.
Which
I love that.
It's easier when you're passionate about something. Like it's so much easier to be grinding when you're passionate about something. And
yes,
I don't know if this is it could be looked at as a bad thing, but for me, it's kind of what fueled me. Is my biggest fear was becoming complacent. And that still is like one of my biggest fears in life, is becoming complacent in what I'm doing and where I'm at. And I just don't, I just feel like I had this, my grind and work ethic instilled in me in school, like just really thanks to one of my professors. Mm-hmm. She just demanded so much time and high quality. And I just feel like that's been great for me career wise up to this point, and like just instilled in who I am now. But I still look around and like my fear is becoming, you know, just complacent in what I'm doing and being like, this is okay. Like I'm just gonna, this is satisfying. I'll just stop here.
I think there's
I feel like that's a very dangerous place to be. People may see that as very safe, but it's very dangerous in my mind.
Yes. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'm glad you finished that, because what you just brought up, like the danger of it, it's literally dangerous. It's dangerous for your health if you're complacent with your health. It's dangerous for your mental health if you're complacent at work, because you can just be stuck in a cycle every day. I think one thing that I push a lot, and one thing that I try to like, you know, impress upon to people, and I think is important, is being content. Like you should be able to find contentness and happiness in what you're doing. But I think there's a huge difference between being content and being complacent, like you just said. I mean, you can be content that, you know, you have a good job and, you know, it's hard to complain about stuff like that. But you become complacent when you're no longer trying to get better at the job. You're no longer trying to become a better person. You're no longer trying to take care of your mind, your body, your spirit, whatever the case may be. So I think being content is very important in your life. And that's kind of a key to happiness, in my opinion. But at the same time, to find true happiness is you cannot be complacent. Because if you're complacent, you probably aren't content, because it's not going to be getting what you should get out of life, what you should get out of your career, what you should get out of your hobbies, your free time, you know, your extracurriculars, you know, what we're getting out of doing this right now. Huge difference between being content and complacent. So I think that's great. The fear of complacency, being complacent is it's one of the, you know, most dangerous things that humans deal with, because I think we're living in a world right now where it's kind of like, you know what, like it's comfort is so easy. People preach this all the time. I mean, this isn't a new thing. This is, people make money preaching this stuff to people all the time. Comfort is getting outside of your comfort zone is the most important thing you can do, whether that's, you know, meeting new people, you know, advancing your career, starting a business, making a podcast, making a YouTube video, you know, whatever the case is, you have to get out of your comfort zone. So there's a huge, I just wanted to stress that, because I love that you said that. And I think that's a really important point for people to understand. Anybody listening to this, just notice the difference between being content with your life, being happy with your life, but at the same time, don't be complacent, because you should always get as much as you can out of life. And I think that that's really important. And I think that kind of is what you were saying there. Like you knew that you wanted more, you needed more, whatever the case was, and you weren't willing to settle for it. And I think that's important for everybody.
Yeah, I think it's good that you distinguish the difference between complacency and contentment. There is a difference. Like, you can be both for sure.
Definitely.
And
definitely
for me, like, the complacency for me, it's just like kind of is what has been driving me. And, you know, not everyone is built like that. I think
right. It
can be learned for sure. But
yeah.
I mean, I wasn't like that before, but I think just mm-hmm. through school and the work ethic and like what professors demanded, like that sort of has been instilled in me. And that's like in who I am now. And so
exactly,
it's not in everyone for sure.
Right.
And like, you know, some people have that drive, some people have that, some people don't, but like, that's just how I think about like everything in life. I mean, primarily like career wise, because that's just such a huge part of like who I am and who anyone is.
Yeah. And I think too, just to kind of piggyback off that even more, you said this earlier, it makes it a lot easier to have that drive when it's something you're passionate about, right? So I think where a lot of people get complacent too is they're working in jobs. Now, you may not have been completely satisfied at your job, but at least you're working in architecture. You know what I mean? And that's something you can have some contentment in architecture, but you don't want to be complacent because it's not exactly how you want it. But there's a lot of people too who are just, I mean, they're working jobs that they can't stand. They hate getting up in the morning. Monday is the worst day of the week. Friday is the holiday. You know, it's like, and that's just sad. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think you have to really break out of that and find, at all costs, something that you can be passionate about. Because there's nothing wrong with working a 9-to-5 that you may not love. But if you're not doing something outside of that 9-to-5 that you do love, what are you doing with your life? I mean, that's a whole lifetime of not being happy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a good formula. And that's kind of part of the, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to start doing this. And we're going to talk about more about the new stuff you started as well. It's just so important to at least maybe try to find some passion for anything if you can't find it in the job that you have. The ultimate goal obviously is to find a job or a career or start a business where your passion is getting you paid, which, you know, you want to be an architect, you want to create things, so you're on the right path with that. A lot of people aren't. So just wanted to recommend again to people listening to this, my life's gotten a million times better since I started doing stuff outside of work. Once I started coaching basketball because I love basketball, after my day job, my life got better. Now that I'm, you know, doing a podcast, talking with my friends, sharing cool things with the world, my life's better. Like, it's so crucial that if you're not getting that satisfaction or that passion from your day job, that you find it outside of work. Just something else I wanted to stress too, if you would agree with. I'm sure you would agree.
Oh yeah, I agree.
So just to transition 100%. Then, this time we're living in right now, crazy time. A lot of people, you know, the virus is a real thing. It's affecting a lot of people. And, you know, you went through a situation yourself with a job that allowed you to have more free time. So just tell me a little bit about that, like what happened there and what the transition for you has been during this quarantine period.
Yeah, I had talked about it in the very beginning. I mentioned it that I was furloughed, directly affected by the virus.
And by the way, go check out Austin's YouTube channel. You can see the whole video about that.
Yeah, I was gonna plug it then.
It will be, and it'll be links in the bio for sure.
I mean we went remote, so I was working remotely for 4 or 5 weeks, and then I got the notice on my birthday, and I talked about this in a YouTube video called I Was Furloughed. Want to check it out? Austin Beck. You'll probably find him say Austin Beck Vlogs, but go check it out. It has more of the story, but basically I found out I was furloughed on my birthday in April, first thing in the morning. And, you know, it was like the worst news I felt like I've ever heard. Well, not the worst, but one of the worst of like, it's totally new to me. You know, this is my first job. I didn't know. I just found out like what being furloughed meant. No idea what it was. But I didn't know what it entailed. I didn't know, do I have health insurance? Like, I was going from my parents' plan to my employer's plan like in a few weeks. And I was like, do I still have that? I need that. Like, do I qualify for unemployment? Like, how much, if I do, like how much money do I even get? Right. Like, there were so many just questions all around of what that meant. And I was so worried. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never experienced anything like it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in just a short time though, that was like on a Thursday. And then by Sunday, my mindset was completely different, like completely different headspace just in the 3 days of like praying, talking to family and friends and researching, like, and talking to like HR and finding out like, okay, I can apply for unemployment. Like, who knows if I'll get it. Hopefully I should. And like, I still have my health insurance. So things in a short period changed to help me feel a little bit better. But my mindset shifted completely. Mm-hmm. And that was from when like, oh, this is like the worst of times to like the best of times, you know, like
right,
this,
right.
I saw this as, this is the perfect opportunity that I've kind of been wanting in a way. For a while I had been wanting to explore making videos, and for a long time I had wanted to start a podcast, and I had just these interests in these design fields that weren't architecture, but I had interest in it. And because I was like, oh, you know, every person questions architecture who's in architecture. But I also saw it as like, you know, there's these other fields, like how can I maybe combine these? Like, how could I combine, you know, if I made videos, like how could I combine that with architecture in a way? But it was funny when I was like super depressed, not really depressed, but down a couple of days or a week.
Yeah,
I'm on YouTube and just like watching travel videos because I was just wanted to travel, but didn't have the money. And you come across like travel YouTubers. And I was like, I was thinking to myself, man, that would be awesome. Get paid to travel. You just literally get paid to travel and I make a film about it. I mean, that just sounded like the life to me. And I thought, man, if I could do that, that'd be so cool. But I also thought, like, I love architecture too much. I think I'd miss it. And that honestly like gained my interest more in creating videos. And over the past like couple of years, I'd consume content from different entrepreneurs who are putting out content too, and videos and stuff about their life. And so I started to like think about and have this like entrepreneurial mindset, that I need to be doing some of these other things outside. You know, like I'm still going to be doing the stuff I'm doing, listening to podcasts and doing some reading, but like, you know, maybe I should develop some new skills. Like, I'm kind of interested in this. I should go like, just try this out. So, and Gary Vee talks about it. He's like, micro speed, macro patience.
Like that.
Macro patience in the long term of progress in something and like making it or success, but micro speed in try something out for 4 months and grind and just grind for 4 months at it. And if you don't like it still, then like try something else for the next 4 months and grind at it. Okay. And so I just thought like, oh, you know, I should just try this out. And so I've been wanting to do these things, and I went on this trip out west last summer with my roommates, and I was going to go all into like filmmaking, but I just bought this little action cam because it made more sense to spend less money than like spend $1,800.
Yeah.
And I'm on this trip and I'm, you know, capturing the trip, and I did not like it because we were out in Montana and I freaking fell in love with Montana, but I felt like I was missing from the experience. I felt like I wasn't in the moment, wasn't in the experience, because I'm constantly thinking about the footage I'm taking and how I'm going to edit.
Makes sense.
I didn't even know how to edit. Like, I never opened an editing software in my life, but I'm thinking about like, how's this going to look afterwards? You know, what's this angle? Like, I knew nothing about any of that.
Right.
So I looked at my roommate and I was like, dude, I hate this filmmaking thing. You know, it's not even filmmaking, but I thought to myself that, but I still thought I'm going to do it because I want to document these memories. Like, I want to have this anyways. So I'm still glad I did it, but that intrigue was still there because I was like, well, I documented that trip. Like, I have those memories. It would still be cool for future travels if I could like make a video, you know. And then there's a YouTuber who's an architect I follow who is combined making like a YouTube career, but also practices as an architect. And so I got kind of thinking, well, you know, is there a way to combine that in the future? I want to learn these skills because I'm still interested in filmmaking. Like, I want to learn it. I don't like it now, but like, I have such an interest in it that I want to get to know it. Like, I want to know more about it.
Right.
And similar with the podcast, like I've been wanting to start it, but I just held off on it. And so then when I found out I was furloughed, this comes back to that, long story short, is I was like, yo, I'm going to just start vlogging. Like, I'm just going to start making out YouTube videos because I kind of wanted a break from architecture. I thought about, I could just like do competitions or things, but I kind of wanted to do something different and learn some new skills.
Yeah.
And so that's just what I started doing. And vlogging is definitely different than like making a short film because it's very different being behind the camera versus in front of it. But I felt,
definitely.
I felt, okay, I don't have the skills how to make, I don't know how to make anything, but like I can talk to a camera. I'll talk to a camera. So I was like, I'll just do that. And I wasn't even comfortable with talking to a camera. It was surprising. Like, I got very comfortable very quickly in front of the camera, just talking to it. Cause it's kind of like I'm talking to a person, but I just felt like this is what I can do because I don't know how else to do anything other than that. I just pointed at me and just talk.
Right.
Simple. And that's what I just started. That's what I did. I was like, I'm just going to be a vlogger.
Which is cool. You made that choice. You took the jump and now you're doing it. You know what I mean? And I think where a lot of people get held up is like, clearly you're not, you didn't get into that because you want to be making $1 million a year on YouTube, which although that would be amazing, like, and I hope that happens for you,
cool.
It would be amazing, but you were using it as an outlet for your creativity and something else that you wanted to do. And I think that is what a lot of people do not try to get out of their lives. Like, if there's not, everybody is as, you know, a creative as of a person as you are. But whether it's being creative, I think it's just producing something. Like, I think it doesn't have to, you don't have to become a vlogger. You don't have to get on YouTube. You don't have to make a podcast unless you want to. It's a fun thing to do. But as long as you're producing something good into the world, I think a lot of people don't go out of their way to try to do that if they're not getting it in their day job. Kind of goes back to what we were just saying a little bit ago about, you know, finding passion outside of it. You were able to take this amazing opportunity that you had, completely flip your mindset about it. You could have shut down to become just a sad person, like, oh, woe is me, you know, I'm furloughed, my life sucks, you know, what's going to happen with my job, blah, blah, blah. Instead, you flip your mindset. You were like, I got to get some of this creativity out. This is something that I might be interested in, and I'm just going to do it. You went for it. And would you say that it was a good choice to start doing it?
Oh, definitely. I'm 100%.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
What
has it taught you about yourself? Like, is there anything that it's like taught you? Like, that anything that, you know, it sticks out? You know, what are some of the benefits or some of the reasons that you're happy that you started this new journey?
I mean, just about myself, it's really showed me that, like, I've had a lot of great experiences in my life. And also a lot of, well, recent hardships too. And I've somehow become very comfortable just having my life out on the internet. It's not for everyone.
Right. True.
I've gotten very comfortable with it because I think I feel like I have things to share with people.
Right.
And I think that it could be beneficial or positive to someone. Like, I think there's some value there.
Exactly. And, love that, man.
It mainly though was for me. Yeah. And like, it ultimately still has to be, it's weird. Like, it has to be for you. Like, you have to create stuff that you want to create.
Right. You have to be yourself.
But at the same time, like, you want to bring value or you want it to be beneficial to people, but you can't let then those people dictate everything you do or dictate like if it's good or bad or how you think about yourself and your work, but you still want to do it for them. So I never understood that until I was putting stuff out there, because before, like, my architecture portfolio is online, but people aren't like talking to me and critiquing it. It's not like I'm throwing it on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
On my projects, but it is different. But I've enjoyed it so far. For sure. Good. And
I know
you I've learned those things most ultimately about myself, but I've just learned, like, kind of more about maybe what I want to do in the future. Like, I don't want to become a full-time YouTuber. Right. I don't want to become a full-time podcaster, at least not now. And yeah. like the intent isn't to become one. The intent was, I have this free time. I've been interested in this stuff. I want to learn it. And I have free platforms to do it.
Exactly.
So exactly. Why not? And I've learned so, like, I've consumed so much content recently and like learned so much about just filmmaking and vlogging and like creating content online. And yeah. I mean, a lot of these can be buzzwords, but like there's careers there. There's like
it's a lot of money,
online. To be made there. Like there's real things you can do and like real power and helping people in different aspects too, which yep. I always just looked at like content creation as like, whatever, like creating yeah. content. What is that? You know, like,
yeah, what does that even mean? Right?
What are you actually doing? Like you just made a, like some weird video.
Yeah. it's another cornball with the podcast. But hey, the thing is just to kind of, you know, wrap up what you were just saying there. Cause I absolutely agree with everything you said and I love it. And I think what stood out to me is that you have to do it for yourself, right? So what we're trying to do with this, because I know you're the same way, I look at it the same way. What I'm trying to do with this is get on, you know, this microphone, get on this camera, be myself and have conversations with people who I know are good people. And just by being yourself and putting the content out, like all you have to do is just be yourself and put it out. The people who are going to get value from it are going to identify with you. You know what I mean? So you can't, I've learned that as well. Like, and this is something that recently, especially in quarantine, I've come to a whole new realization on this. This is something I struggled with my whole life, you know, just in the upbringing that we've had, you know, the environments I've been in is, you know, being a little bit of a people, I don't like the phrase people pleaser, but I always like felt the want, the desire for people to like me. You know what I mean? But I think now that I've kind of let that go and I'm just being myself, totally and completely myself in all situations, no matter who I'm around or what I'm doing, and putting it out there for the world to see, the people who are going to identify with that are going to, you know, respect that and they'll gravitate towards the content. And if it's something that brings value to their life, great. If it doesn't apply to your life, or if people think I'm annoying, or if people think this is stupid, then that's fine too. And they have that prerogative. You know what I mean? And I want that. We're not doing these things exactly like you said, to have everybody like us or to make it for the people. We're doing this for ourselves, to express ourselves in ways that we think can provide value. And the people who are going to get the value from it are going to get the value from it. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to piggyback off what you said there, because I absolutely love that. Like you have to be yourself and do it for yourself before you can bring value to somebody else. Because if it's not, you know, something that you want to do or something that you're getting value from, you're not going to enjoy that either. It can't be a passion if you're not doing it for yourself. And I don't think that's a selfish thing. I don't think it's an ego thing. I think there's a certain aspect where we have to take our own lives into our own hands. We have to be ourselves and just try to provide value where we can. And I that's what I'm trying to do with this. I know that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to share stories, share cool moments in your life, things that you relate to. So I just think it's amazing. Like I said at the very beginning of this, I think it's absolutely amazing that you started doing this stuff. It completely inspired me to start doing it. So I just have nothing but respect and love that you are, you know, taking that jump that I think a lot of people should take. Just like you just said a couple of minutes ago, there's so much money to be made online, right? And it's not even just about the money, but there's so much traffic. Everybody's online. We're all online all day, every day. The generation after us is just going to keep getting worse and worse. It's just, there's so much to be done online and there can be so much good from it. It doesn't all have to be negative. You know, there can be good things like this stuff we're trying to do right now. So I couldn't emphasize or echo what you said more. People just need to take that risk. Maybe, you know, if you're a little uncomfortable about putting yourself out there, but you think maybe it might be something fun or there might be people that you can relate to, you might be able to start a little community. This is only my second episode and I've already gotten rewards out of the first one that I did. And this one I think is going to be the same way. So just wanted to kind of, you know, put the cherry on top there, which you said, because I totally agree with everything that you just said.
Yeah, I agree. And also like sort of like you starting this podcast, it goes back to the taking action, because I, you know, wanted to do something. I took action and I started vlogging. I started a YouTube channel and then I just was like in this state where I was like, yo, everyone should be creating content. Everyone should be doing this. And I texted you, and that's when I was like, yo, like you need to be streaming. Like you need to be throwing everything up on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, like everything. You need to be doing it. And you said like, I should. And then you said, I want to start a podcast. And I was like, go just do it. Mm-hmm. And then like 2 week later, you were announcing it or something. And then myself, I was like, yo, I had been wanting to start a podcast for over a year and a half, like way before the YouTube channel, I wanted to do a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't, because I was afraid of like what people would think. I was afraid,
right,
like,
exactly.
I was afraid of like, exactly. I don't know how to do it. What gear do I need? What am I going to talk about? Do I need a co-host? Who would it be? How's it work remote? Like all these questions that are so minute and
that don't matter.
Like, it shouldn't stop you. You know, like I have a phone.
Yes,
I can do it there.
Yes.
Like literally just have a phone and just talk. And mm-hmm. like you said, it'll resonate with people. And you know, if it does, like they're going to keep coming back.
Right.
Not that there isn't like strategies and better ways to do things.
Yeah, of course. Like if you want to make something good, you got to
start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Like look at MKBHD. Like look at his videos from 10 years ago mm-hmm. compared to now. Like
so what is the difference? Something you just said that I think is just so crucial is you've probably heard this before, and I've heard people say this, and I love this phrase, the analysis paralysis. Right.
Yeah.
So you start thinking of all these questions like, man, what if I look stupid? What if the video doesn't work? What if the audio is bad? What if I have nothing to talk about? Do I need a host? What are my topics going to be? You know, what are people going to watch this? And the more you do that and the less you take action, it's never going to happen and nothing good will ever come from it. At least, you know, getting started. Exactly. Exactly. So at least just getting started with something. The first step is all you have to take is just get started with it. That's the hardest thing. I mean, they say that all the time. The hardest part of going to the gym is getting there. You know, hardest part of working out is getting there. Hardest part of doing something is usually just showing up. You know what I mean? So as long as you show up and you just do it, you'll see if there's a benefit. And if there's not a benefit, then at least you know. But if you never try, if you never just go for it, you'll never know, you know, the positives that you could have gotten out of it. So I just think that's a really, you know, important thing you just said too. Like you had all these questions and doubts and fears. And I said this on the last episode, it's another one of my favorite phrases, like your life starts on the other side of fear, right? If you can't get over those fears, if you can't stop worrying about what people are going to think about you or how it's going to look or what the reaction is going to be, you're going to be paralyzed and never do anything. And you just cannot live your life that way because you've gotten value out of this. I've gotten value out of you. I've gotten value from you. I've gotten value from myself for doing this. Like it's so beneficial if you can just take that step and do something that you think you will enjoy doing and provide it to the world. I just think it's just so crucial to provide some kind of value. So I again, just your story resonates with me so much, and I just absolutely love it. It's inspired me. So really, really glad we're doing this. Just to wrap this up here, I don't even know how long we've been talking. It feels like it's been days, man. This is cool.
And I don't know.
It's been a while since we caught up, right?
I know we're trying to hang out
whenever you're back in town. But it's been a while, so this has been good to talk. I love this. But I just have a couple closing questions. You know, we'll wrap some of this stuff up here, and it kind of has to do with this creative stuff. So I already asked you, you know, what it's taught you about yourself. So what about advice that you would give to somebody who, say, there is in our position, they have a 9-to-5, they have a career, but they're thinking about maybe trying something on the side, it doesn't have to be digital, like you were saying, it doesn't have to be a podcast or YouTube videos or whatever the case may be, but it's something that they think they might be interested. What would your recommendation be? Like, what would you tell somebody who you think is on the fence? Like the same way you talk to me about how I should start a podcast, like to the general public, what would your recommendation be to people who might be on the fence about picking up a passion outside of their day job?
Just do it.
Just do it.
just go for it. Just what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. That's the only question you should be asking.
I mean, what is the worst that could happen? Like some trolls on the internet make fun of you. Like very unlikely, but.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be dumb. You know, whatever you're going to
do, I mean,
it's
like
not
going
to be dumb.
Yeah. So there's never, like, it's such low risk. The risk is so low. Exactly. You don't have to, for whatever you're doing, a lot of things, you don't have to put a financial investment in something.
Right.
Like if it's digital, like free platforms, like there's a lot of things that are free and there's things that take money, but you know, if you want to do it then, and it does take some money or an investment or something, like mm-hmm. you got to be committed. Like, you know, you got to do it, but just like think like what's holding you back, like what's the fear, what's keeping you from doing it, and crush it, like crush that fear, crush that whatever it is.
Right. That's so true. I love that too. It's not even like just doing it, but you got to commit to it. Right. So it's doing it is important. Like you have to get started, but like if you have to make the decision that like, this is something I want to do. Right. Like if I would have said I wanted to make a podcast and I put out that video and all those social media posts and it, I mean, it's not like I'm some like famous person, but there's a lot of people that then see me saying there's a podcast coming, you know, stay tuned, you know, it's going to be coming. And if I wouldn't have really committed to it, then I would look like a fool. You know what I mean? So that I love that point that you just made there. Like you have to do it, but you have to really, really do it and you have to make the decision and you got to go for it completely, like all in, go for it.
All in network.
All in network. Baby. Wow. What a plug. What a plug. Hey man, we need you on the, we need you on the network. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that for sure. Okay. So I love that. Love that advice. You already kind of explained like what the value that it's brought to you, and what you hope to get out of it. What is your next plan? I mean, I know you're still really early in this whole new endeavor of, you know, making videos, and now you're, the podcast is coming because you said the first episode is going to be in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, actually, well, this will be the first episode. I think this.
You're dropping this too, right?
Yeah. Right. This will be so good. When this will come out, I would have announced it earlier in the week. So people know, but this, I think this is going to be like the perfect episode to start.
Yeah.
This collaboration, because the timing's right and it'll be a great, just sort of like get to know me, sort of like who I am. And like, I'm speaking about things that I'm about and who I am and what I value. And so I think it'll be great sort of for people to hear,
I agree.
Hear just about me right away. And then we got some other people lined up on my list for guests. That'll be really good. And yeah, the podcast will be centered around design. It's called Design Daily. Check it out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
It's
we'll be linking that as well once we get the links. If we have them beforehand, have you already, we'll talk about that. Whatever you can link, we will link for people who are listening to this.
Yeah. Check it out. I mean, you can, it's up. I mean, yeah, so that the podcast is, the name really derives from just literally the name, like Design Daily, like having a practice and regiment, like a habit that you are constantly every day, you know, creating or designing something in your life. You know, it could be very, like for me, it could be like architecture related, it could be sketching, or it could just be, you know, it could be like a meal. It could be cooking. It could be, it could really be anything in your life, because like you can create so many different things in your life. So it's more just around like having something that you're doing every day, that allows you to pave, just your life. But it'll feature, architects to musicians, to artists, to, people in all different fields, but they're in some sort of creative field.
Right.
So
love that.
That's coming.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. What are the next plans for the YouTube channel? You're just still kind of just putting out vlogs as you experience life, right? You're kind of just, and that's kind of how it seems like you're taking the, you know, the moments from your life that you're capturing and putting them on there for people to see as well.
Yeah. So it started because I really wanted to just document my furlough. And so I have documented a lot. And I mean, a lot, some of it's have been highlights. Some of it have been just me talking to the camera about like my feelings and things. And some have been talking about like the process of just learning and vlogging. And there's a couple, you know, I filmed like, I'll call it like cinematic. There's a couple like videos I made that are more, not so much vlogs, but more like cinematic short films. But each one for me is like, I'm trying to learn something new in each one and trying to improve on something in each one. And I think vlogging is still a great way to just document your life and document what you're doing. And the idea to be able to look back on it in like 30 years, it just seems, it's so cool to me. Like I always thought,
feel that, bro.
I always thought that, but now that I'm actually doing it, it'll be fun to look back even in a few years to be like, wow, that's where I am. Or like, oh, I did that. Remember COVID-19, remember being quarantined.
Right. And you'll have all that stuff. Yeah. So, man, I love that. I didn't even really think about that, but that's such a good point. Talk about, because I mean, obviously people keep photo albums. I love looking at photos of my family before me, and even old pictures of myself. But the thought that it can be like all documented via video, it's like you're there. That's such a good idea. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, that was another factor. A factor though that, like I said, I had this interest. It's really career wise thinking, okay, I'm learning these new skills that I think are valuable, and whoever I, you know, then I'll work for in the future, I think it'll bring value to them. And I hope they see that value as well. And, yep. And I have this vision of that these will merge someday. Somehow. Like,
yeah. That was going to be my next question. I know that
years,
we talked about
it's years down the road, but I have this vision. It's very vague of how architecture and what that career and that knowledge will merge with like this filmmaking content creation. Uh-huh. And I just have this vision of like things that I could be doing and how I want it to come together. But like, I'm not there yet. Like I'm trying to build these skills now.
Yeah.
And I have to get further along in my architecture career for like it to happen. But I have this vision and sort of this goal. And so that excites me, just that alone. And I can tell, like, I've learned so much just about making videos, content creation, like, mm-hmm. the potential revenue, and just like, it's fun, like kind of creating and thinking about like, if I have my own business or entrepreneurship, like it's exciting to me. And to think, how then can this content creation play further into like regular architecture firms or firms? So I have a lot of these ideas that I think will bring a lot of value to like people in the future and like my future career. Mm-hmm. And so a lot has just been trying to like build these skills. I'm just going to try to keep building these skills. And I think one day it'll come together and it'll be great. And honestly, if it doesn't come together and I just do this as a hobby, like I just make some vlogs occasionally, or I just make travel videos when I travel, like I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I have this vision and I have this goal, but I've still been building this skill that would be great to document things in my life or have that I would know how to make a travel film, like, and it'd be cool. And then I could mm-hmm. look at it years later. So exactly. It's not wasted to me. Like if I don't meet this vision or it doesn't come to fruition, right. I'm still like learning and about myself and just learning new skills and having fun in this time. Right. And that's
growing as a person. Exactly.
Yeah.
Regardless of the long-term outcomes or if there's any financial success or benefit, you're growing as a person and you're enjoying it and you're creating something that's good. No matter like who watches it, anybody who watches whatever you're going to be doing can get something good out of it or some kind of entertainment, enjoyment, or some kind of positive lesson. So I just think that's the most crucial thing. So I love that, man. I'm excited for you. Super excited. I can't wait to see what happens. I think we're both going to do some pretty cool stuff with this. I can't wait to do more stuff with you. We're going to have to do more collaborations for sure.
Yeah, for
definitely
sure.
Some more like video stuff too, because I'm trying to get that YouTube channel going too. So yeah, man, for sure. So last question for you. I'm going to try to end everything with this. One piece of advice or one lesson or anything that you would like to share with anybody listening to this, if there's, you know, one thing you would like to share, what would it be?
Just one thing.
Whatever you want. It could be more than one if you want. At least
one. I feel like I've shared a lot.
You have. Is there like any advice, something like a life thing, or just something that maybe you've been thinking about recently or something that's resonated with you or something you've learned or anything you would want to pass on to somebody else? Anything at all? Putting you on the spot here.
Yeah. Honestly, my first thought at this will be the answer, but my first thought was like, I'm saying all these things, yet I feel like I'm not qualified to talk about it because I'm only 26 and I've worked at a job outside of school for 2.5 years.
Yeah, I'm
out here like giving advice to people our age or telling people to do these things.
Right.
Yet, you know, in some people's eyes, like I'm not successful or whatever. Mm-hmm. But so along those terms, I think it's like, it doesn't even have to be age, but it could be age or like credentials in any sense. Let that dictate how, like, don't let it bother you if someone like thinks less of you or something because, like, oh, you're only 26, you don't know what you're talking right. about, or like, yeah, oh, you yeah. you've only worked for this amount of time, or like, oh, you went there or did that, because that one, it's just one person, you're being a troll, but I think everyone, even however young you are or whatever, like you could be 12 and have gone through some hard stuff, like stuff way that I would never experience, that I couldn't imagine. And so don't let like anything like that dictate your feelings if someone's like looking down on you in any way, because I think everyone has something they can share. And that's why, like, I always was like, oh, content creation, what is that? But honestly, I now truly feel like everyone has a story to tell, or they have someone else's story to tell. Yes, like, bro. I'm telling my story and about my life on my YouTube channel, and my podcast, I want to tell the stories about other designers and people that inspire me. So it, like, every, even if you're 8 years old, like, there's 8 year olds who have a YouTube channel, and like, they're bringing some sort of value. It's entertainment. It's whatever.
Right.
But like, everyone has some sort of story to tell. You just have to really dig deep and think about it. And that, like, that's something that I've learned, is I never thought much about my life or thought about what I experienced and sometimes what I think until now, like, when I'm putting this out there, I'm much more conscious of, you know, maybe how will it be perceived, or how is this going to come off to people, or like, is this going to bring value? But it's helped me really dig down and think about myself and my life and like the story I have to tell. Cause vlogging and filmmaking is storytelling. And that's something I haven't learned. But it really made me think about, like, even a small story could make a huge impact on someone.
Definitely. Dude,
it doesn't even have to be their life. It could just be their day.
That was the absolute best answer I could have ever asked for. So we're going to wrap it up with this. I'm going to kind of like just kind of piggyback off what you said, because I think that's a great way to close this out. Right. Love that answer. Totally agree with everything you just said. My entire reason for doing these interviews is, and I'm fully aware that people love to listen to podcasts of famous people, successful people, whatever that may mean. Right. I think everybody has a voice. Everybody has a story to share, exactly like you just said. What I wanted to do with this was to have a place that I could take some of those stories and share them with other people. Because I think as humans, we have to be able to learn from everybody. Exactly like you just said, we can learn things from little kids. We can learn things from older people. We can learn things from people our age. And it doesn't matter what they do, what kind of success that they've had, what their career is, or any of that. Everybody has a story. So if there's a good thing to be learned from somebody, you should learn it, and you should have an open enough mind that no matter what the source is or where you're learning it from, as long as you can understand where they're coming from, you can learn from everybody. And I just think that was such a perfect answer, because that's literally this whole point of my entire podcast. Cause I'm not famous. You're not famous. Like, none of the people I'm interviewing, no. I mean, I'm going to try to get some cool guests, but like, nobody's like super famous. Right. So it's never about that. I could not agree more. Everybody has a voice. Make sure you can tell your story. Learn from everybody that you can. Become a student of the world and a student of everybody else. Absolutely amazing answer, man. Austin, thank you so much for joining me. We're going to definitely have to do this again sometime soon. I can't wait to see what happens next with your, you know, the vlogs, the YouTube, and the podcast. I want to come on your podcast as well. I hope you would let me get an interview too,
man. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, bro. Of course. This was awesome. This was awesome. I know we were going to try to do this a couple weeks ago, so I'm glad we got around to it and we hammered it out. Can't wait till you're back in the area. We're going to link up for sure. I'm really looking forward to that. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk some more. Spread some love today, people, if you're seeing this. Listening to this pod on Spotify, Apple, seen it on YouTube, whatever the case is. If you hear this, please spread some love to somebody. You never know who might need it. I'm Cody Deal, your host. We're signing off. Thank you again, Austin, for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Hey, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that conversation we had. I know I really did. That's one of the reasons why it was split into two parts, because it was so long and we just had a good time catching up and talking about these topics and ideas that we're both thinking about and that we know that other people are probably thinking about as well. And so we figured, you know, let's just have this conversation and put it out there for people. Hopefully it resonates with you, like I said. And make sure to follow Cody, RealDeal52 on Twitter. His Real Deal Radio podcast is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Check out his YouTube channel and subscribe to the All In Network, as well as make sure to follow and subscribe to Design Daily on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as my YouTube channel. Austin Beck, link is in the description. And thanks so much for listening.